Napoleon Hill, who wrote the book Think and Grow Rich, studied 500 successful people. And he found out that all 500 of these successful, these were Fortune 500 people, and he found out that they had one thing in common, and it wasn't that they were genius, it wasn't the background that they came from, it wasn't that they were lucky, but he found they had one thing in common, and that is day in and day out, they were consistent in what they did.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series on personal discipline with part one of A Commitment to Consistency. So please open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, as we join Dr. Glaze for part one of A Commitment to Consistency.
We're going to continue a message that we started last week on discipline, personal discipline, the key to successful Christian living. Personal discipline, the key to successful Christian living. Last week, we looked at the picture of discipline. We said that Jesus Christ is the picture of discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it said that he endured the cross and suffered the shame. He could have came down, but he was disciplined. He disciplined himself. Now again, we know he was God, but he was also a human being. And in his humanity, he disciplined himself to endure the cross and to suffer the shame. So Jesus Christ is our picture of discipline. We pointed out four areas of discipline last week. I said that there are probably more than four, but we just looked at four last week. We said that the mind should be an area where we discipline ourselves. That Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Just don't let your mind flap in the wind, but discipline your mind. We said that you need to discipline your tongue. James says that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Said that we can tame the horses and we can guide big ships, but we have a hard time with that tongue. So discipline is needed. You need to discipline your body. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, I bring my body under subjection. He said, my body doesn't tell me what to do, I tell my body what to do. And then we said that you need to discipline your emotions. That in Proverbs it said that when you let anger overtake you, that that's like a city with its walls broken down. You are open to all type of attacks. So we talked about these things last week. And like I said, we could have gone into many more areas of discipline, but we just listed those four and said last week that if you will just master discipline in those four areas, probably pretty much everything else in your life will come into place. If you just focus on those four right there, I guarantee, as a matter of fact, I could almost guarantee you that if you focus on those four, that your life will be a disciplined life. We said in the message four things about the keys to successful Christian living. First of all, you have to have a successful mindset, that you have to set the standards high. You have to realize that in Christ you are a winner. So you have to think like a winner. You have to think like a champion. And if you think like a champion, then you are on your way to self-discipline. That's the first step. The first step, you got to win that battle in your mind. If you lose the battle in your mind, then you're not going to be a disciplined individual. Secondly, you got to exercise self-control in all things. Paul said that the athlete is temperate, and that word temperate means to be self-controlled. It means to be disciplined, that once you get your mind right, then you have to discipline yourself. And then the third thing we said is that you have to strive for objectives that are worthwhile. Some people, they want to win the chicken wing eating contest. That's not a worthwhile goal. I mean, that's a fun thing that some people might want to do. But you need to set worthwhile goals. You don't need to set low goals. You don't need to set goals that are worthless. And we talked about how that God wants you to labor for the crown that doesn't perish. That if you serve in this life and for things in this life, that you are laboring for a crown, a wreath that perishes. He said he wants you to labor for a wreath that is eternal. And then finally, we see that you need to make sacrifices. Paul said that he didn't want to be disqualified. He said he disciplined himself so that he could reach the goal that he was going to reach. This morning, we want to deal with another aspect of personal discipline. And I want to begin by asking a couple of questions as we move into this phase of the sermon. What will guard against foolish extremes? What characterizes those who are habitually successful in sports, sales, or some skill? What brings security in relationships? What strengthens confidence in leaders? What makes us choose a particular brand over others? What's needed most by parents in the home? What draws you to the same restaurant time and time again? Now, these questions are about Chuck Swindoll, but we really know that he must have put these questions together a long time ago by this next question, right? What do you want most from your paper boy? Well, we know that, I was a paper boy growing up, but, you don't see too many paper boys a day. You see people riding in cars throwing your paper in your driveway. Or your milkman, right? Y'all remember, man, when I was growing up, the milkman, they used to have these little steel boxes outside of the house, and the milkman would come and pick up the empty bottles and put the milk down in the in that steel crate. Yeah, so that takes me, when I was reading this, it took me back. But we understand what he's trying to say. What do you want most from your paperboy? What do you want most from the milkman? What do you want most from the postman? And then, what will add more weight to your Christian, to your witness for Christ than anything else? And Chuck Swindoll goes on to answer those questions that he asked. He goes on to say the answer is consistency. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Consistency. That's the answer to all 10 questions, and you know it's true. Steadiness, you can count on it. It will be there tomorrow, just like it was yesterday, free from silly moods, sudden changes, or fickle fads. Early in the day or late at night, consistency stands firm. When pain and hardship bite, consistency doesn't bleed. Oh, I like that right there. I like that. When pain and hardship bite, consistency doesn't bleed. When the majority is tired and irritable, consistency is stable and resilient. He goes on to say, it's the stuff most mothers are made of when their little ones get sick. And the missionaries who lose themselves in their labor, even though it yields limited fruit, it reveals itself in faithful employees. I better hurry up and read this one, right? Well, who show up on time, roll up their sleeves, and commit themselves more to doing the job than watching the clock. And then I like what Swindoll says here. He says, consistency. Diligence is its brother. Dependability is partner. Discipline is parent. Oh, that's good. That's some good stuff there. That's some good stuff, Chuck. Diligence is its brother. Dependability is partner. And discipline is parent. Napoleon Hill, who wrote the book Think and Grow Rich, studied 500 successful people. And he found out that all 500 of these successful, these were Fortune 500 people, and he found out that they had one thing in common. And it wasn't that they were genius. It wasn't the background that they came from. It wasn't that they were lucky. But he found they had one thing in common, and that is day in and day out, they were consistent in what they did. Day in and day out, they were consistent in what they did. Consistency, when you think about it, what is it? What is consistency? It is steadfast adherence to a course of action. It means that you are committed to do something and that you are steadfast in that course of action. I like what John Maxwell, he said, consistency involves character. And what is character? Maxwell says, the ability to carry out a good resolution long after the mood in which it was made is past. You know, a perfect example of this to me is like Christmas, right? Where, you know, you go and, now I know everybody doesn't, but some people do. And you go hundreds, maybe some people, thousands of dollars in debt buying Christmas gifts, right? And you get so happy and so excited that you have bought a gift for somebody. And you can't wait until they see it on Christmas morning or whenever you give it to them. And then you give it to them and they open the package and you see the joy that's on their face and how that they are cheesing like a Cheshire cat because of what you bought them. And then comes January, February, March, April, May, June, and you're still paying on it. A person of character, the ability to carry out that resolution long after the mood, right? That mood is over, right? You better take some good pictures at Christmas because sometimes that's all you got. Long after the mood. So if I say that I'm going to commit to do something, then I have the same joy, I have the same spirit, I have the same resolve in my heart to keep on doing it long after the time that I made the commitment to do it. And I find in this thing of consistency, you sometimes you just got to get out there and put one foot after the other and keep going. You know, for those of you, and I know Jeff Angel was getting ready to get on me now, but for those of you who jumped off the wagon when the Steelers were not looking that good, right? I'm on the wagon now. They're what, 6-3? I'm on it, man. I'm riding high. All right, I'm riding high. Go Steelers. But you know when they were like, they won a game and then they lost one, then they won one and they lost one. I think at one point they were like 2-3. And you know what Tomlin said? He said, this was deep, right? He said, we got to start stacking wins after each other. That's profound. You think about it. We got to start stacking some wins. We can't just win one and lose one, but we got to start stacking some wins on top of each other. That's consistency. Consistency is stacking the wins on top of each other. That means that you are consistent. Here we go again. Now, as I say, as I point one finger, there's three coming back at me, but I'm just going to tell you like I got it. You got to be consistent in paying your bills. Amen. You got to be consistent in paying your bills. You have to be consistent in serving in ministry. You have to be consistent in spending time with God. You have to be consistent in coming to the house of the Lord. There has to be some consistency there. And as I talk about consistency, I'm not talking about the wrong kind of consistency. I had something here. I wanted to read it. I thought it was kind of funny. A farmer went into his banker and announced that he has some bad news and some good news. The banker said, well, let me have the bad news first. He said, the bad news, I can't make my mortgage payments, and the crop loan that I've taken out for the last 10 years, I can't pay that off either. Not only that, I won't be able to pay you the couple hundred thousand I still have outstanding on my tractors and other equipment. So I'm going to have to give up the farm and turn it all over to you for whatever you can salvage it for. The banker got kind of quiet. He said, my goodness. He said, that is some bad news. He said, what's the good news? And the farmer said, the good news is I plan on continuing to do business with you. We don't want consistency wrong. This guy was consistently wrong. And some people are consistently wrong. Look at that next slide. This is a verse that comes out of the Good News translation from Proverbs 20 and verse 6. And I like this here. Sometimes I pick these verses out of these other texts, and I make sure that it doesn't do any injury to the text. Because some of those other translations, you got to be careful, they do injury to the text sometimes. But this is one that doesn't do injury to the text. It says here, everyone talks about how loyal and faithful they are, but just try to find someone who really is. Everybody talks about how consistent and faithful they are, but the writer of Proverbs said it's hard to find somebody who is. One pastor received this letter from one of his members. It said, you often stress attendance at worship as being very important for a Christian. But I think a person has a right to miss now and then. I think every person ought to be excused for the following reasons and the number of times as indicated. Christmas, the Sunday before and after. New Year's, party lasted too long. Easter, get away for the holidays. July 4th, national holiday. Labor Day, need to get away. Memorial Day, visit the hometown. School closing, kids need a break. School opens, one last fling. Family reunions, my wife's and mine. Sleep late, Saturday night activities. Deaths in families. Anniversaries and second honeymoons. Sickness, at least one per family member. Business trips, a must. 3 weeks vacation. Bad weather, ice, snow, rain, and clouds, we're going to miss. A couple of ball games, we're not going to be there. Unexpected company comes in, we can't walk out. Time changes, my clock won't be right. Spring ahead and fall back. And then specials on TV, the Super Bowl and football games. Pastor, that leaves only 2 Sundays per year. So you can count on us to be in church on the 4th Sunday in February and the 3rd Sunday in August, unless providentially hindered. Sincerely, a faithful member. I like that. I like that. A faithful member. See, some people are consistent, but they are what? Consistently bad. The farmer is what? The farmer, he was consistent, but he was consistently bad. The faithful member was consistent, but consistently bad. Let's stop for a moment. Let's stop and take inventory of our life. And let us ask the question about our consistency. What is your consistency like? If people were to examine your life, would there be a pattern of consistency where, as I said last week, your walkie-walkie is lining up with your talkie-talkie? Would there be consistency in life in the things that you have committed to do? Would there be consistency in life in the affiliations, the ministries, the employment, the boards, whatever that you're on? Is there consistency there in your life? Just stop for a moment and ask that question. Is there consistency? And I know for me, I have to be honest. And like I said last week, part of the reason that I started preaching this message last week, because I needed it. And even as I look at this whole issue of consistency, and see, saints, you know, you can come to church and we can put the bar right here and say, hey, let's put it down where everybody can jump, right? Everybody can jump over this bar, or let's raise it. You can come to church and we can raise the bar. We can say, let's try to do a little bit better. Because Christ is our Savior. Because Christ died for us. Let us raise the bar. Let's not drop the bar. You know, I like that commercial, that mattress commercial. And the guy says that a lot of other mattress places, I can't remember what commercial it is, but I heard it. He said, a lot of other mattress places, it's a race to the bottom. They're trying to see how bad they can make their product. They're trying to see how cheap they can come off making their product. So he said it's a race to the bottom. But we want to put the standard up here. We want everybody shooting up here. You know what? You want to be like God? There's a lot of ways that we can be like God. There's a lot of ways that we can be Christ-like. But one of the ways that we can be Christ-like is to be consistent. Hebrews 13:8. If you go back there, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If that's not consistency, I don't know what is. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to look at our scripture text. All that was my introduction. So let's get into the word now. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, we're talking about consistency this morning. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As I looked at this verse, I said, this is the epitome of consistency. In this passage right here, it's loaded with so much truth as to how we are to implement the principles of consistency into our lives. Now, as we look at this, I have to be clear and give some background. In 1 Corinthians 15, so if you look at your notes, let me just go through the background real quick so we can establish the foundation for the text. In 1 Corinthians 15, or 1 Corinthians 15 is known as the resurrection chapter. In verses 1 through 11, Paul talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verses 12 through 34, the resurrection of those who have died in Christ. And in verses 35 through 57, the resurrected body of the believer. Based on all that he said about the resurrection in this chapter, he then exhorts the believer in verse 58 to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So the background to 1 Corinthians 15:58 is the resurrection. So we don't want to take it out of that context, but we want to look at it in that context and then draw some principles out of it. So there's three things that we see in this passage. The first is what I call the consistency involves sincere dedication. Sincere dedication. Notice what he says there. He says to be steadfast. The word steadfast. This is a word that refers to sitting down or being seated. It has the idea of being firmly seated in personal conviction. That this deals with conviction. It means that you have a conviction and that your conviction is something that you believe in. And so, taking this to the resurrection.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Commitment to Consistency. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, part one of A Commitment to Consistency, You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request a commitment to consistency. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request a commitment to consistency. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Anchored in Jesus comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which reminds us that you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.